first excited to welcome to the show my co-host Sherry from Storehouse Media Group. Sherry, how are you? First time getting to co-host with me. I have lots of fun co-hosts, but I appreciate you stopping by. And we have a great guest today. How are you, Sherry?
I am great. Thanks for having me co-host this show with you and talk with both Paul and Jack.
We have Jack Houston and Paul Diddy on the show. Jack and Paul, thanks for stopping by, man. And how did you guys connect?
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, how did you guys connect? Tell me how that whole connection thing, working together to come up with, and then we'll talk about the podcast. But just how did you guys meet?
Yeah, it was just kind of a wonderful coincidence in a way. I'm really good friends with a writer and producer named April C, who has her own company, Diversity Hire. And we were texting back and forth in November of 2021. And I'm from Minnesota, and April, bless her heart, she thinks that I know everyone from Minnesota and everything about the state. And she sent me a text that said, "Have you ever heard of the Silver Chain Social Club?" And I said, "No, I haven't." And she sent me this link to a GQ article that just honestly turned my world upside down. It was about a secret society of swingers that operated in the suburbs of Minneapolis in the 1970s. And it's a club that we would not know about if it weren't for the fact that one of their members left the club's newsletters behind in a safe deposit box that eventually found its way to the Minnesota Historical Society. I was fascinated immediately and wanted to know all about it. And at that point, April connected us with Jack, who had already discovered the article before us. And he really has an interesting story to tell about how he kind of became enamored with it as well.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Jack.
No, I mean, I Paul sort of said it. It's one of those things. You know, I'm from England originally, so I was coming over. I always have an eye out for interesting articles, books, you know, things to hopefully adapt, bring to the screen in some way. But once I read this article, you know, I think of Minnesota. I said my only sort of real, into Minnesota was as a kid watching the movie Fargo. So I was like, this is like not the place where you imagine there to be a sort of, you know, a swinging society, let alone back in the 70s. So once we got on with Paul and we actually started talking a little deeper, you know, we all thought that, you know, the article scratched the surface, but what a fascinating subject, specifically in that time period, where I think it was, I think Paul, am I right? It was illegal to be a swinger. So they, you know, they weren't allowed to be doing that kind of stuff. It was amazing sort of in-depth sort of Nancy Drew moment where Paul was like, I got to go and, you know, root these people out, dig these guys out and find out more. I want to speak to the families. I want to speak to the kids, you know, who was affected by this. It became this sort of amazing exploration.
Sherry's a storyteller. So go ahead, Sherry, with your question. Yeah. Cause they've answered some good, interesting things, giving us the early thing. We got you for longer. So go ahead, Sherry, with your question.
So I am a storyteller. I love storytelling. And you've got 8 episodes out already, right? And I see the story that you're telling on each, with each episode, that you talk to the family members, her Carol's funeral. Just really interesting stuff, the investigative work you did on this story. How many episodes are there going to be totally?
Sure thing. Yeah, there's a total of 8 episodes, and then we also have a bonus episode that we dropped in the middle of the season, and we tell a story that answers all the questions that we had at the beginning. So we call this a true no crime because there's not any serious crime. No one gets murdered. I'm not looking for any missing children or anything. But there were a lot of things that we wanted answered, and we really didn't stop until we got all of those answers.
Well, you know what? And I'm going to go, Jack, thinking about podcasts as stories. Because of true crime podcast, I think it's opened up lots of storytellers for podcasting, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's amazing because, you know, I've always been fascinated by the sort of true crime, the podcast, the shows, what one's done. But this was, to me, sort of equally as interesting It's because it's something that we don't know anything about. It's still taboo, you know, to talk about swinging or, you know, the sort of that sort of, we think we've been through so many sort of sexual revolutions, and yet it's something which I knew nothing about. And when I spoke to Paul and we spoke to April and Jen Blake, who works with April, every one of us was like, God, that's why it's so interesting to us, is it's still sort of off the table. It's something you don't speak about. It is, you know, it's meant, you know, considered a sort of lewd subject. And they're always the most fascinating, because I always say, everybody wants to talk. It takes sometimes a little bit of coaxing, but once you open that can, all the worms come flooding out. So, you know, that's sort of what happened. And that's what Paul did so brilliantly. As he said, he started this in 2001. So he goes on a deep dive, and it's amazing the things he uncovers and the people he uncovers. You know, you've got to understand that in these articles, they weren't ever allowed to use last names. So it was only first name basis. So already when you're talking about, you know, being in the suburbs of Minneapolis back in the 70s, how many Dorothy's or Susan's are there? You know, just finding one of these people
a lot.
So, you know, Paul does, and you know, like I always say, the Nancy Drew, the Sherlock Holmes, it really is like this investigative journal.
Totally.
This, you know, this society, how it was, you know, affected each of the members and the children of the members and what they remember from it, and like things that they, some people didn't even know what was going on. And this sort of, oh, suddenly it all made sense. What their parents, you know, where are your parents tonight? That was what was going on.
Sherry, this is fascinating, isn't it?
It is. You know, and he's talking about investigative journalism, or, you know, getting to the investigation. Like, this is a mystery. You know, right, it's taboo. Like, nobody knows anything about it. It's just pushed off, and did that really happen? And it's like he's unraveling that mystery and showing that, you know, proving that truth is stranger than fiction. You know, so it's a journey. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on that, Paul? And how developing all this?
Paul,
is Paul there? Did we lose him? All right, well, we'll just go jump into Jack. What are your thoughts?
I think we might have lost Paul. I can't believe it. Well, I'm here. Sorry. So let's go back on that.
No, Mom. So I'm going to take it back, Jack, and just basically say, you know, the whole storytelling process and putting it all together into a podcast. This is where I'm still trying to understand this as a podcast expert, how stories are being told and developed, and how the final research, because, you know, you're used to documentaries, but you're not used to people on the go, you know, on their treadmill or at work, and they're listening to podcasts, the audio production versus video. So I want a more of a diving deep into that process and production that's different. And yet it kind of makes it more of an interesting story, like the days of fireside chats where people were listening to the radio before television. We've really come back.
No, absolutely. And it's amazing because, you know, I'm one of those sort of true crime enthusiasts, as I said before, but you know, where you think you're going to end up is usually miles away from where you do end up. And that's where we started. We started with so many questions, and, you know, so much is revealed through the 8 episodes, and Paul does such a beautiful job of that. You know, it's amazing to think back then in the 70s, you know, it was illegal to swing. You weren't allowed to do that. So this society was started by these 4 founding members, these 4 founding couples, and actually was started by the women of those couples, because they were sick of driving out of state to go and swing. So they said, well, why don't we set up this executive committee? And by the end of it, I think there was about 200 members. This is in a time where it was legal. So they would set up dances, bowling events, get together picnics. You weren't allowed to swing at these events, but you were allowed to start conversations. It's where you met other like-minded couples. And then they go off and do it. But, you know, it's also what you have to think is, like I always said, my thoughts on swinging is like a movie like The Ice Storm and like key swapping parties. And you find out that it was much more than that in this time, in this period. You know, it was a way for them to sort of save a marriage a lot of the time. It was a lot of times they were doing it for the other partner. a lot of times you'd hear that, you know, they didn't necessarily want to be doing this, but they did do it because they were doing it to save their marriage, or, you know, the children who were there, where it's like where you weren't allowed to go down to the basement because something, you know, mummy and daddy are having a party tonight. And, you know, it's just there's so many questions. And then you do hear about all those other, so maybe the darker side of swinging and what it, you know, the sort of after effects, the PTSD that some of these children have and some of these couples had. And, you know, looking back, some are very nice, some are very sweet, some are very wholesome stories. And some of these stories aren't so sweet and so wholesome. So it's, you know, it's really, it's about a subject that I knew nothing of. And by the end of it, it's, you know, you almost know too much.
Totally. And I, as I keep saying, stories are what people want. They don't want to just be bombarded with news. They want to escape. And Sherry is not true. Escaping to something, a story that they can at least live through something that maybe they wouldn't do themselves.
Yeah. You know, and storytelling is so powerful because when you give something in narrative, or, you know, you're just throwing out facts and statistics, and people are going to walk away and they may remember just a little bit, but through a story, when you put people into that actual scene, into that action that's going on, they walk away and they remember it, good, bad, or indifferent. So storytelling is so powerful, so powerful. And I think it's amazing how, like Neil says, he took this story and it's turned into a series of podcasts. It's just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And Paul's a writer, you know, so that's the interesting thing is, like, he's also coming at this from the writer's perspective, where you always want to go deeper. How much deeper? And, you know, you start with people would hang up the phone initially when you mentioned the silver chain. And then, you know, with, you know, a lot of trying, a lot of tenacity, a lot of phone calls, getting to the point, you realize that actually we thrive on stories and we want to tell our stories. People want to talk. People want to tell about their lives. And it's almost a way of bringing us together. Stories are the greatest way of bringing us together because we are human and we want to hear human stories. We want to hear it from the people themselves. There's nothing more fascinating. And as you said earlier, life is a lot more interesting than fiction a lot of time. Life is more bizarre in many ways.
No, it totally is. And you never know what happens. And now you want to make this also into a series too. That's a goal, right? TV wise.
Well, one would hope that we would get that opportunity. We're all discussing it, and obviously Time Capsule is, this was our first season, so this is about the silver chain, and we're hoping to do that exact same sort of format, which is uncover other sort of unsolved mysteries of a period of something in, you know, looking back in that time capsule sort of element.
Wow. Yeah. All right. So I was going to just jump on this, Jack. What other projects, like, what's made you want to go into the production end of things behind the screen, behind the podcast versus acting? Are you still doing some of the acting as well? Are you kind of switching up and forth? Or are you really more interested in being more producer?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. I love every aspect of this job. And I think it is about being a storyteller at the end of it. And I've loved acting and I am still acting. I'm actually, at the moment, I'm in New Orleans filming the second season of this show for AMC called The Mayfair, which is, you know, we have expats out right now on Amazon, which Lulu Wong and Nicole Kidman, which is a fantastic one. And I've just directed my first film that I wrote and produced called Day of the Fight. So I have been leaning more into the writing, producing, directing side of things. And that's what really led me to this story. And it's always working with just interesting, creative people, because I always say I'm old school. I love conversation because so many things come from a conversation. And, like, suddenly so many questions are asked. And this is, you know, as you said, you know, it does lend itself incredibly well to a possible future look at a series or a show or a film. And I love all of this. I'm so into it.
All right, Sherry, I'm gonna give you another question after that. I just want to go with one more. My question is, so you have a full-fledged production company as well to do produce films and TV, or are you looking for that?
Yes, CISA. That's my company.
Oh, awesome. Fantastic. Go ahead, Sherry, with your question for Jack. We're kind of finishing up the process with some more questions for Jack Houston. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, Jack, congratulations on your directing debut. That's great. You know, as you're talking about, you know, future episodes and telling stories, you know, I think, you know, when I get people tell me stories, a lot of times I find that they're cleansing for a lot of people. Like things they've struggled with, when they tell it and they tell that story and they get it out there, it's like almost healing. And this is, you know, an unusual kind of investigative story. And I'm really looking forward to what you're going to be doing in the future.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, no, you're so right. It's so funny because we sort of do exercise our own lives through storytelling. I think, you know, Paul specifically, while, you know, going on this deep dive into the Silver Chain, you know, he's also talking about, well, you know, where he was from, you know, coming from, you know, Minnesota and all those questions that we had when we were kids about our parents. We always think to ourselves, you know, back then it was so sort of proper. It was like you almost can't sexualize one's parents, let alone your grandparents. And to know that this kind of stuff was going on back in the 70s, I think was the hook for all of us. Because, you know, times change, but humans don't. We don't. We still are fascinating people and, you know, all of the trials and tribulations that life brings with it. So usually with anyone you meet, everybody has a story. And it's such a beautiful thing to find someone like Paul who really wanted to go and find, you know, the truth behind something like this. And that's what makes for such great listening is when you do a podcast, you can be anywhere. You can be in your car. You can be on a treadmill. You can be just walking to work, and you've got something that you can just escape to. And I think this is the escapism that we're looking for. We love the truth, and this is something that's uncovering something so brilliant and so beautiful.
Well, I'm hoping that, like, when everyone says, you know, every technology comes up and then say, okay, this is dead. This is dead. Well, we're seeing that radio is not dead. Podcasting's not dead. And people like to just listen to stories. They need to have Absolutely. Something in the background that's not going to be annoying. It's going to be interesting. And you're going to have that wow factor. So it's available on all different podcast networks, right? To check out.
It is. And timecapsule.com as well. That's its own website that you can go in, see all sorts of photos, see it from its sort of origin. And there's a bunch of merchandise and all sorts of great things that Paul has been sort of integral behind. So brilliant.
Hey, that's what it is in podcasts, right? And we learned a lot about podcasts from that one show on Peacock where it was a true crime where you can make tons of money off of podcasts. So best of luck in what you guys are doing. And tell Paul, definitely love to talk to him further at one point in time about his project. But thanks again, Jack. And look forward to having you back on.
I will. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks. Thank you for having us.
All right. Take care, guys.
Bye, guys.
All right. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.